God's word for our meditation today recorded in John chapter 8, reading from verse 31, our gospel lesson. In the name of Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, dear fellow redeemed. It was one of the most dramatic events in history. A lone monk stood before the imperial council in the city of Worms, Germany. The date was April 18th, 1521. Before the monk was a table with books and pamphlets that he had written, in which he called into question the authority of the Pope, in which he objected to the practice of selling indulgences, and in which he insisted that sinners were saved not by their good works, but by grace through faith in Jesus. And because his teachings were contrary to what the church taught, the church officials demanded that he recant, that he take it back, that he say he's sorry, or else be excommunicated from the church and be labeled an outlaw who could be shot on sight. What would the man do? Would he buckle under the pressure of the Roman hierarchy? Would he say he's sorry? After spending a night in prayer, Dr. Martin Luther addressed his accusers with these words: "Unless you can prove from the Bible that I have made wrong statements, I cannot and will not take back anything. My conscience is bound by the word of God. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." My friends, that marked a turning point in the history of the Christian church. Even though we mark October 31st, 1517, as the beginning of the Lutheran Reformation, when he nailed the 95 Theses on the door of Castle Church, the fact is, at that point in Luther's life, he was still a monk who was simply asking questions. By 1521, before the Diet of Worms, he is now publicly taking a stand for the truth, even if it meant risking his life and being burned at the stake, as previous heretics had happened. The question is, how could Luther do that? Why did he do it? He did it because Jesus told him to do it. Just as Jesus has told us to do the very same thing here in our text for today. Here Jesus says to you and me, in effect, Christian, hold to my teaching. First, in order to know the truth, and secondly, in order to be set free. The account that we have recorded for us here describes something that often happened in Jesus' earthly ministry. He interacted with the Jews, and some of them believed in him, and some of them didn't. Some of them believed for a time and others fell away. It's to those Jews that John refers these words at the beginning of our text. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said. Now, whether John is referring to those who had come to faith in Jesus, or he's referring to those who once believed in Jesus, who had believed but no longer did, doesn't really matter, because Jesus' words apply to both groups. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. With those words, Jesus is drawing a distinction between those who claim that they are believers and those who actually are. In Jesus' day and still today, there are plenty of people who say they are followers of Jesus, who who say they have a relationship with God, who maybe are proud of the fact that they've always been a member of the church, and yet who still refuse to hold to Jesus' teaching. They refuse to listen to what God says in His Word, whether it's about the importance of gathering together as Christians to worship, or whether it's about the sanctity of marriage. Sometimes people just don't know what the Bible actually says, and other times they know what it says, and they refuse to believe it. The result is the same. Jesus says, they aren't really my disciples. These are the people that Jesus is talking about when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, true discipleship is marked by and maintained by a connection to the Word of God. That's what Jesus means when he says here in our text, if you hold to my teaching, literally, if you remain in my Word, then you are really my disciples. Boy, that's a bit of a warning for all of us, isn't it? About the importance of remaining in his Word. The importance of holding to the truth. If we think that, you know, the Bible knowledge we gained, you know, back in eighth grade confirmation will carry us for the rest of our life, if we think that, oh, we can kind of pick and choose, you know, what to believe in the Bible, I believe that, but I won't believe that. Jesus says that's hypocrisy. We're not true disciples, and we'll be exposed on the last day. Isn't that why the Bible says, for example, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or again, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, literally the milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And again, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Isn't that why Mount Olive offers so many ways for adults to spend time in God's Word? Whether it's a Sunday morning Bible class or Wednesday or Friday morning, whether it's a small group, sisters group, or a life group throughout the week, whether it's downloading a Bible study from our website, as a family growing in Christ, Mount Olive not only worships together, we study the Word together. We're here to be disciples of Christ and hold to His teaching. And why do we do that? Why do we hold to His teaching? In order to, first of all, know the truth. Now you realize when Jesus says, you will know the truth, He's implying, first of all, that there is such a thing as absolute moral truth. And secondly, that people can know what it is. You realize those are two things that a lot of people in our world do not believe. A recent poll by George Barna uncovered that 58% of the people who answered the survey rejected the idea that there is absolute moral truth. That means the majority of people in our country and a lot of churchgoers, when it comes to truth, have the attitude, well, I don't know, it depends. It's all relative. You know, you have your truth and I have my truth. You realize when people reject the idea of objective truth, it gives them the freedom to basically do whatever they want. As soon as you say there is nothing that's objective, no standard that we are held to, well then, I guess anything goes. Back in Luther's day, people still believed that the Bible was the source of truth. They still believed in God. That's why in the Lutheran confessions, there is no article of faith that says the Bible is the Word of God. Everybody realized that. The difference was, and the trouble was, that the church, alongside Scripture, also placed something called tradition. Holy, sacred tradition. What is sacred tradition? It's the idea that God passed down His truth through priests and councils and the papacy. The church believed that when the Pope spoke ex cathedra, in other words, when he made an official declaration, that was divine truth. It was equal to Scripture. And in fact, if truth and tradition didn't line up, then tradition would always win out. That's what Luther was objecting to. Luther was convinced that the only source of true doctrine and practice is the Word of God. That's why he not only preached sola gratia, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, but also as recorded in Scripture alone. In fact, that's why in his commentary to the Galatians, he wrote these words: "I am not to be believed, nor is the church to be believed, or the fathers, or the apostles, or an angel from heaven, if they teach anything contrary to the Word of God." In other words, Jesus, or rather Luther's attitude about the Word was the same as Jesus' attitude about the Word, who said to his Father in heaven, "Your Word is truth." You might say that's the first reason that we hold to Jesus' teaching, to know the truth. But it's also so that we can be set free. Isn't that what Jesus says? "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, someone might say, "What do you mean, set me free? I mean, I live in America, right? The home of the brave, the land of the free. It's not like I'm a black man living in, you know, the deep south in the 1800s. I'm not a slave, right? I have a great deal of freedom, right? God gives me a free will. I can decide what I want to do. I can do whatever I want. I'm free." Jesus would beg to differ. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever sins is a slave to sin." In other words, if you or I use our freedom to do what our sinful nature wants to do, or what the world wants us to do, or what Satan wants to do, we are no longer free. We are now being controlled by someone else, right? Sin has become our master. And if we're honest, we've all experienced this, right? We can all say with St. Paul, "The good that I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" The answer? Jesus will. Jesus sets us free by telling us the truth. The truth first about ourselves. That by nature, I can't do anything pleasing to God. It is impossible for me to merit God's favor. I'm a slave. That's the ugly truth about myself. But more important than the truth about myself is the truth about my God and yours. A God of free and faithful grace. A God who loves us unconditionally. A God who gave his life on a cross to set us free, yes, from the guilt that weighs on our consciences. Frees us from the punishment that our sins deserve. Frees us even from the power of sin to control our hearts and lives. Isn't that what St. Paul meant when he said, Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That's the definition of freedom. The freedom to say no to our old man, and the freedom to say yes to our new man, that God has recreated us in his image. Isn't that what Paul meant when he said to the Galatians, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." And again, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." That's the true freedom that God gives. The freedom not to serve ourselves, but to serve God and others. Not because we have to, not because we need to earn God's favor, but because we have God's favor in Christ. That's freedom. 500 years ago, a German monk stood before the most powerful court in the land. But he was not afraid. He was not afraid of being ridiculed. He was not afraid of being imprisoned. He was not afraid of death. Because in God's word, he had the truth. And the truth had set him free, just as Jesus promised it would do. Today, you and I belong to a church body that still bears Luther's name. And Jesus Christ makes the very same promise to each one of us. He says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free for time and for eternity." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us today. We hope that God's word has strengthened your faith. To help us know more about the reach of our efforts here at Manav, we hope that you'll like and subscribe to our YouTube and Facebook pages, and that you also sign our online friendship register to let us know that you're listening today. God bless and keep you.